శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 47 బాబాస్ రెమినిసెన్సెస్ స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ వీరభద్రప్ప అండ్ చెన్నబసప్ప స్నేక్ అండ్ ఫ్రాగ్ ద లాస్ట్ చాప్టర్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ బాబాస్ రెమినిసెన్స్ అబౌట్ టూ గోట్స్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ మోర్ సచ్ రెమినిసెన్స్ and relates the story of Veerabhadrappa and Chennabasappa. Om Shri Sai. Preliminary. Blessed is the face of Sai. If we cast a glance at him for a moment, he destroys the sorrow of many past births and confers great bliss on us. And if he looks us at with grace, our bondage of karma is immediately snapped away and we are led to happiness. The river Ganges washes away the dirt and sins of all people who got to her for a bath, but she intently longs for the saints to come to her and bless her with the touch of their feet and remove all the filth, that is sins, accumulated in her. She knows for certain that this can only be removed by the holy feet of the saints. Sai is the crushed jewel of the saints, and now hear from him the following purifying story. Om Shri Sai. The Snake and the Frog. Sai Baba said one morning after taking my breakfast, I came along to a small river bank. As I was tired, I rested there, washed my hands and feet, and had a bath and felt refreshed. There was a footpath and a cart track sheltered by shady trees. The breeze was also blowing gently. As I was preparing to smoke chilem, that is pipe, I heard the croaking of a frog. I was striking the flint and lighting the fire when a traveler turned up, sat by my side, bowed down to me, and politely invited me to his house for meals and rest. He lit up the pipe and handed it over to me. The croaking was heard again, and he wanted to know what it was. I told him that a frog was in trouble and was tasting the bitter fruit of its own karma. We have to reap now the fruit of what we sow in our past life, and there is no use crying about it now. Then he smoked and handed over the pipe to me and said that he would go there in person and see for himself. I told him that a frog was caught by a big snake and was crying. Both were very wicked in their past life and were now reaping the fruit of their actions in the present bodies. He went and found that a huge black serpent was holding a big frog in its mouth. He returned to me and said that in about 10 or 12 minutes the frog would be eaten up by the snake. I said, "No, this can't be. I am its father, that is protector, and I am here now. How shall I allow the snake to eat it up? Am I here for nothing? Just see how I release it." After smoking again, we walked up to the place. He was afraid and asked me not to proceed further, as the snake might attack us. Not minding him, I went ahead and addressed the creatures thus, "O Veerabhadrappa, has not your enemy Basappa yet repented? Though he has been born as a frog, and you too, though born as a serpent, still hold bitter enmity against him. Be ashamed of yourself. Give up your hatred now and rest in peace." On hearing these words, the snake left the frog quickly and dived into the river and disappeared. The frog also jumped away and hid itself in the bushes. The traveler was much surprised. He said that he could not understand how the snake dropped the frog and disappeared on hearing the words. Who was Veerabhadrappa and who was Basappa? And what was the cause of their enmity? I returned with him to the foot of the tree, and after sharing again a few puffs of smoke with him, I explained the whole misery to him as follows. There was an ancient holy place sanctified by a temple of Mahadev, about 4 or 5 miles from my place. The temple was old and dilapidated. The residents of the place collected funds for its repairs. After a large amount was collected, arrangement for worship was made, and plans with estimates for repairs were prepared. A rich local man was appointed the treasurer and the whole work was entrusted to him. He was to keep regular accounts and be honest in all his dealings. He was a first-class miser and spent very little for the repairs, which consequently made very little progress. He spent all the funds, swallowed some amount himself and spent nothing from his pocket. He had a sweet tongue and was very clever in offering plausible explanations. Regarding the poor and tardy progress of the work, the people again went to him and said that unless he lent his helping hand and tried his best, the work would not be complete. They requested him to work out the scheme and again collected subscriptions and sent the amount to him. He received it, but sat as quiet as before without making any progress. After some days, God, that is Mahadeva, appeared in his wife's dream and said to her, "You get up and build the dome of the temple. I will give you 100-fold of what you spent." She told his vision to her husband. He was afraid that it would involve him in expenses and therefore laughed it off, saying that it was a mere dream, a thing not to be relied and acted upon, or else why did not God appear to him in the dream and tell him about it? Was he far off from her? This looks like a bad dream. Having its object of creation of ill feeling between husband and wife, she had to remain quiet. God does not like big subscriptions and donations collected against the wishes of the donors, but he likes ever trifling amounts given with love, devotion and gratitude. Some days after, God again appeared in a dream and said, "Do not bother yourself about your husband and the collections with him. Don't press him to spend any money for the temple. What I want is bhava and devotion. So give if you like anything of your own." She consulted her husband about this vision and decided to give God her ornaments given by her father. The miser felt disconcerted and decided to cheat even God in this item. He undervalued the ornaments at rupees 1000 and bought them himself, and in lieu of the amount gave a barren field to God as endowment or security. The wife agreed to this. The field or land was not his own. It belonged to one poor woman named Dubaki, who mortgaged it to him for rupees 200. She was not able to redeem it for long. So the cunning miser cheated all, his wife, Dubaki, and even God. The land was sterile, uncultivated, and worth nothing, and yielded nothing, even in best seasons. Thus ended this transaction, and the land was given in the possession of the poor priest, who was pleased with the endowment. Sometime later, strange things happened. There was a terrific storm and heavy downpour. Lightning struck the house of the miser, when he and his wife both died. Dubaki also breathed her last. In the next life, the rich miser was born at Mathura in a Brahmin family and was named Veerabhadrappa. His devout wife was born as a daughter of the priest of the temple and was named Gauri. The woman Dubaki, the mortgager, was born as a male in the family of Gaurav, attendant of the temple, and was named Channabasappa. The priest was a friend of mine. He often came to me, chatted and smoked with me. His daughter Gauri was also devout to me. She was growing fast and her father was seeking a good husband for her. I told him not to worry about this, as the bridegroom himself would come seeking her. Then there came a poor boy named Veerabhadrappa wandering and begging his bread to the priest's house. With my consent, Gauri was given in marriage to him. He was also devoted to me initially, as I recommended his marriage with Gauri, but later became miser. Even in this new life, he was hankering after money and asked me to help him to get it, as he was leading a married man's life. Strange things happened. There was a sudden rise in prices. By Gauri's good luck, there was a great demand for land, and the land was sold for 1 lakh of rupees, that is 100 times the worth of her ornaments. Half the amount was paid in cash and the remaining was to be paid in 25 installments of rupees 2000 each. All agreed to this transaction but began to quarrel over the money. They came to me for consultation. I told them that the property belonged to God and was vested in the priest, and that Gauri was his sole heiress and proprietress, and no amount should be spent without her consent, and that her husband had no right whatsoever to the amount. On hearing my opinion, Veerabhadrappa was wroth with me and said that I wanted to establish Gauri's claim and embezzle her property. On hearing his words, I remembered God and kept quiet. Veerabhadrappa scolded his wife, Gauri, and she came to me at noon and requested me not to mind the words of others and not to discard her, as she was my daughter. As she thus sought my protection, I gave her a pledge that I would cross 7 seas to help her. Then that night, Gauri had a vision. Mahadeva appeared in a dream and said, "The whole money is yours. Do not give anything to anybody. Spend some amount for temple purpose in consultation with Channabasappa. And if you want to use it for some other purpose, consult Baba in the masjid, that is myself." Gauri told me the vision, and I gave her the proper advice in the matter. I told her to take the principal or capital amount to herself, give half the amount of interest to Channabasappa, and that Veerabhadrappa had nothing to do in the matter. While I was thus talking, both Veerabhadrappa and Channabasappa came there quarreling. I tried my best to pacify them and told them God's vision to Gauri. Veerabhadrappa got wild and angry and threatened to kill Channabasappa, cutting him to pieces. The latter was timid. He caught my feet and sought my refuge. I pledged myself to save him from the wrath of his foe. Then after some time, Veerabhadrappa died and was born as a snake, and Channabasappa died and was born as a frog. On hearing the croaking of Channabasappa and remembering my pledge, I came here, saved him and kept my word. God runs to his devotees for help in times of danger. He saved Channabasappa, the frog, by sending me here. All this is God's leela or sport. Om Shri Sai. The moral. The moral of the story is that one has to reap what one sows, and there is no escape unless one suffers and squares up with one's old debts and dealings with others, and that greed for money drags a greedy man to the lowest level and ultimately brings destruction for him and others. Bow to Shri Sai. Peace be to all.